few people good just down here. You're good? Very good. Very good. Who's excited about this year? Who's excited what God has in store for him this year? Again, just a few people down here in this corner. Hey, let's get excited about what God's going to do in our lives. Let's get excited about what God's going to do in this church. Let's get excited about what God has done in years past, last year, and what he's going to do this year and beyond. Because our God is able, is he not? Our God is able, and he's able to take us from glory to glory. He's able to take us on. So I was thinking about something that Sam said last week. He's talking about New Year's resolutions. Who's made a New Year's resolution? We've got a couple of hands. We've got a few hands. Look out. We've got a few hands going on there. And it kind of is this time of year, New Year's. We look at our life. We look at the year ahead, and we look at some plans that we can possibly make. And I was thinking about this, and why do we do that? Why do we make plans and go, look at my life, and maybe I need to change this or do that, and maybe I need to put this into place and get a gym membership, and this is the time of year now that we get our gym membership, and a month's time they kind of dwindle a little, but this is the time of year where we do that, isn't it? And that's good, but why do we do that? We do that to further ourselves, don't we? We do that for a better quality of life. We do that to look ahead, and to maybe we think, yeah, that needs to change, and we'll put this into place. And I was thinking about this and going, that's kind of what God's placed in us, to be able to do that. Because in Genesis 1, verse 28, basically, we have God commissioning humanity to be fruitful and to multiply. Who here wants to be fruitful and multiply? Yeah, very cool. Actually, there's only about two hands up then. What's going on there? Who wants to be fruitful and multiply? We all want to be fruitful, and we all want to multiply to fill the earth and subdue it. And I was actually quite surprised that there's not too many hands, even the second time. Oh, maybe I should think about that. Do I want to be fruitful? But I really do believe that that's something that God has placed in us, to be fruitful and to multiply. It's something that God has commissioned us to do, yes, but it's also something I believe that's within us. Because who knows that when they're involved in something fruitful or involved in something that's multiplying, there's some excitement going on. And we kind of gel with that. We kind of go, that's good. That's good. When something is fruitful, we kind of link up with that and go, I like this. When something is multiplying, we kind of look at that and go, I actually want to be part of this. I want to be involved. I like this. And I believe that that's something that God has placed in us. It's something that is fundamentally human. We enjoy being fruitful. Who enjoys being not fruitful? Being unfruitful? You know, it's not fun, is it? You know, when in life or we're doing something and it's a total flop, we kind of walk away going, oh, that was bad. That was not cool. Let me give you an explanation here. Who wants to be poorer at the end of this year? Who would like to have less money in their bank account? I'm not seeing any hands. Who wants to be less educated? Who wants to be stupider this year? Anyway, oh, I saw a hand. Look out. That was, oh my gosh. Who wants to be stupider? That's another hand. Thank you for that. Wow. Who wants to be less fit? Who wants to have less friends? You know, who wants by the end of the year, get to the end of the year and say, this year has been a great year. I achieved nothing. Yeah, who would like to say that? No, because inside of us, we want to achieve, don't we? Inside of us, we want to be fruitful. Inside of us, we want to be part of something that is multiplying and growing and expanding and getting bigger, larger. We want to be involved in something bigger than ourselves. We want to be involved in something that's going someplace. We want to be involved in something that has fruit. It's how God created us to be. So when we look at multiplying, we've been looking at multiplying for the last few weeks, and we're going to look at it for the rest of the year. And I'm excited by this because it's something that I go, yeah, we need to multiply. I need to multiply. Myself, my home group, the church. We need to expand. We need to get bigger. We need to be bigger people. I'd like to be a bigger person by the end of the year, not physically. But spiritually, but by my capacity, I'd like to be bigger. Anyone else with me on that one? Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So my soul is energized when we're part of something that is fruitful and multiplying. So multiplication, I believe, is in us. It's within us. So what are we saying when we talk of multiplication? There's a whole bunch of things that we can put forward. We talk about multiplication. We look at the church. We can look at our lives. We can look at our work. We can look at our business and go, yes, it'd be a good thing if my business multiplied this year. It'd be a good thing if my business multiplied. I could put some more people on. I could do more things. I could help more people. You know, it'd be a good thing for that. Maybe in ourselves, when we see our own spiritual walk and we go, I'd like to multiply that. I'd like to actually die to myself a little more this year and live for Him a little more this year. Maybe kill some selfish attitudes, or maybe I'd like to do that and actually let God expand me and multiply me this year. Would that be a good thing? That'd be a good thing. Maybe when we talk about multiplication, we talk about salvation, don't we? Talk about discipleship. We talk about life groups and expanding the life groups and our capacity to reach more people and to bring discipleship to more people. Leadership. As Pastor Dave just said, you know, if you're interested, if you're just go, what's this leadership thing about? Rock up and see. Could just be for you. Leadership's for all of us, I believe. Leadership's for all of us. So I believe that this is what we're talking about. We talk about multiplication. It's us multiplying ourselves. It's us multiplying in different departments and home groups. And it's just, as a church, we get larger, we get bigger, and we get fruitful. Who wants to be part of that? Yeah. Yeah, who's heard a sermon like this before? No one put their hand up, but I presume you would have. But anyway, let's stay with me, because in the end, it'll all start to make even more sense. When we look at this list, we soon realize that multiplication is too big for us as human beings, isn't it? This thing, we look at multiplying the church, we look at salvation, we look at discipleship, we look at all this. We soon realize that fall short, don't we? We soon realize that I don't have enough. I don't have what it takes to accomplish all this. As a church, we probably, as we look at this list, do we have what it takes? Do we have what it takes? Because it's too big for us in our own strength. I believe a vision is bigger. It should be bigger than what we can do in our own strength. Because we have Almighty God. A vision for our life should be bigger than what we can come up with. We come up with and then go, God, can you add to this? Because this is all I can see. Because God sees bigger and He sees further than what we're able to. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to stay in Acts a little bit. Let's have a look at Acts 1, verse 8. No, I don't really have to go for too long before I look at myself and go, Grant, you don't have what it takes. God, I need you help. God, if you don't show up, then, man, He's never let me down. But Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is a powerful scripture here. Here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is something that we really need to look at because, as I said, we cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this by just coming up and planning and doing that. Well, that's a very, very good thing, and we need to do that. We need to plan. We need to look at how this is going to happen. We need to break this apart. But we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do multiplication in our own strength. We cannot do multiplication just by trying harder and planning more. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. As Dave said before, the X factor. Me plus you plus the Holy Spirit. What's possible? What's possible? Because you shall receive power. If you're a Christian here this morning, the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. Does that excite somebody here? The same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. I think I need to say that one more time. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is now your DNA? Do you believe that now God is now your DNA? Do you believe now that this is possible? Do you believe now that this Bible is true, that we can actually accomplish some of what it says? You know, I'm often challenged by some of the stuff that I read in the Bible. And we're going to look at a verse in just a moment that challenges me because I've read it year after year and I kind of see it to a point. And I realize that the Bible's not the problem, I am. The Bible's not the problem, I'm the problem. It's not like Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, and then elbows his angels and goes, check this out, I've tricked them. I've said that they can do this, and check them out, they're actually giving it a go. Do you think God's like that? I don't think so. If he says you can do it, if he says go do that, he means go do that, it can be done. He's not up in heaven having a good laugh at us going, look, they actually believe that. He wrote it. It can be done. So that's a powerful thing. You know, this verse is a powerful verse. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You know, there was a guy that got accused of breaking the law and goes off to court, standing in court, and the judge says, do you have a lawyer? And the man who was accused just looks at the lawyer. The man goes, oh, so I don't have a lawyer. I can't afford one. And the judge says, well, I'll appoint one to you. I know a guy. He's pretty good. I'll appoint him to you. And the man goes, oh, well, that's very good. But if you really want to appoint somebody, why don't you appoint a few good witnesses? And I think this story is very, very, very powerful because we have a lawyer. His name's Jesus. He's the one who will stand up for us. We have a lawyer. What we need is a few good witnesses. We have a few good witnesses to actually witness of what Christ has done. To witness a few good witnesses to witness what Christ has done in our life. A few good witnesses to testify of what he's done. That's a powerful thing. The power of a witness is incredibly powerful. Jesus, basically at this point, has said, okay, high five. I'm done. It's now your turn. Receive my power and go into all the world and make disciples. You know, each and every person has a role to play in this. This is not just for the select few. This is not just for the church leadership. This is not just for the ministry team or the pastoral team or whatever. This is every one of us has a part to play in this. Are you with me? This can be something that's quite daunting. We realize that I've got a role to play. I've got some people that I can witness to. This can actually be quite daunting when we realize that God has called us and anointed us and appointed us for such a time as this. This can be quite daunting when we realize that I've got something that I have to do, that God's calling me to do. Will I do that? Will I be obedient to his calling? Will I be obedient to that call to be a witness? Will I be obedient to that? That's something that we need to ask ourselves. You know, there's the chaplain for the U.S. State Senate. Sorry, the Senate said, without God, we can't. Without us, he won't. And I believe that. I believe that without God, we can't. We can't do it without him. But he's also given us a big high five and said, now it's your turn. Go and be my witnesses. Go and be fruitful. Go and multiply. Go and fill the earth with my love. Go and fill the earth with my peace. Go and fill the earth with the reconciliation that I bring. Fill the earth with the freedom that I bring. I don't know about you, but that kind of excites me. That kind of just sets a fire in my heart because I know that this is bigger than me. When I look at that, I know that's bigger than me. And I know year after year, we can look at these verses, and I've looked at these verses and go, God, we see this to a point. We see your kingdom growing to a point. We see these things happening to a point. But God, will you fill the earth with your presence? But I believe we take his presence where we go. Speak his truth and speak his life. And for that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. True? Very good. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The wrong page. Very good. It says this: those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We've looked at this a few times this week, so I probably don't need to do a whole lot of work on that. But I don't know about you, but imagine here in church, 3,000 were added to our number today. All of a sudden, we just grew by 3,000 people. Who would celebrate? Hey. Who would then panic? Who would then freak out? And that's, I look at this and just, the Bible is just understated, I find, quite often. And it's like, hey, and by the way, 3,000 were added to their number that day. Yeah, just a little side issue. That's just 3,000, okay? Deal with that. So what did they do with that? With the 3,000? What happened? You know, we see that the culmination of this was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was poured out onto a crowd. Peter got up and spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convinced 3,000 people that what Peter said was true. So you see the flow there. What happened? There's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter stood up and witnessed, gave testimony of what was taking place, what had taken place. He did that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit convicted 3,000 people that what he was saying was true. See, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us, to maybe even draw a crowd. Look out, that's what Jesus did. Healed someone, drew a crowd, preached, healed some people, and saw people come into the kingdom. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We see that happen in Acts too. Through the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit convinced 3,000 people that this was true. Let's have a look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles. The apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Here we have the outworking of basically the birth of the church, the birth of a community of believers. And it's a powerful passage, as I said, I've read very, very regularly. And it's kind of like a whoa, yeah, this is now, not yet sort of a thing. Yeah, I've seen this to a certain extent, but man, it's out there. Because when you read through this and you read through the community that was going on and you read through some of the stuff that was going on, this would have been extremely exciting stuff. Let me read the rest of this passage for you. Everyone was filled with awe. Is everybody here filled with awe? And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So we've seen many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Look out. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone, as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day, as was the custom. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So here we have 3,000 added to the church who are then being discipled, who are then growing. But the Lord was adding to their number on top of that every day. So this is an amazing scene going on here. Okay, this is exciting. I believe the church of God does need to be exciting. Does need to be enthused with the power of God. Does need to have a sense of awe about it. Does need to see signs and wonders. Does need to see the apostles' teaching, good firm teaching going on. Does need to see good, strong fellowship. Does need to see prayer. Does need to see breaking of bread. I believe the church needs to see all of that. But not only that, you know, we often sing songs. I'm devoted to you. And we look to God. I am devoted to you, God. And I believe that that's good and that's right. And we should do that. But here we have it broken down a little more for us. Here we have the big picture. Yes, God, I'm devoted to you. And then he says, okay, very good. What does that mean? That means that we are to be devoted. In Acts 2, 42, in my Bible, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So I believe part of being devoted to God is being devoted to his teaching. Part of being devoted to God is being devoted to fellowship. Part of being devoted to God is being devoted to the breaking of bread. Being devoted, when we sing, I'll be devoted to you, God, is when we're devoted to prayer. Where we pray corporately together, where we pray individually in our own times, both of those, I believe that when we call to prayer, we call to prayer. That we call to study His Word, we call to study His Word. We call to be devoted to these things. And that could be challenging for us because in our, I guess, individualistic world, we can kind of go, well, yeah, I do that by myself. You know, I pray by myself. I read my Bible by myself. I go off to a home group every now and then and rock up to church every now and then. And, yeah, I'm devoted to you, God. But I believe that that devotion isn't just a wishy-washy sort of a deal going on here. These guys met every day. He wants to meet every day. That would be cool. Who thinks that would be really cool if we could do that? It'd kind of be a bit awkward with our lifestyles. We'll have to change a few things. You know, we're not gonna be able to do that next week. But maybe we could change a few things. But to meet, these guys met every day, as was their custom. They would meet every day, they'd pray together, fellowship together, break bread together. Study the teaching together. It's an amazing scene that's unfolding here before us. See, we do say things that we need to fight for unity. Who knows? We need to fight for unity in the church. That's pretty basic. That's a given. We do need to fight for unity. Absolutely. But I believe we also need to be, we need to fight for our devotion to one another, to prayer, to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread and fellowship. I believe we do need to fight for that. Because that, I don't believe, is not necessarily like with unity. That fight again with disunity is with other people, generally, isn't it? The fight for the fight for unity is like, I believe this, you believe that, and there can be a scuffle going on. So the fight for unity is no, we will stand on what we actually believe, and we go through like that. But that's our fight for unity. But our fight for devotion, I believe, is within us. Each and every one of us. Because so often, I believe we get taken out by not wanting to meet together. Oh, church is on. Oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like going. Home group comes around. Oh, it's a good program on TV tonight. You know, prayer meeting. Oh, yeah, I'm doing this. You know what I mean? That we know that we probably should be there, but that fight within us is like, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they were going out to celebrate the Chinese New Year, and they were going out for a meal, and they were, I spoke to them about 5 o'clock. They weren't going out till 9 o'clock, and they said to me, we're feeling a bit tired, but you know, it'd be good when we get there, I guess. And when they explained to me what was going on in that night, I was like, you've got to be kidding. That sounds awesome. I want to be there. Can I come? And as they were explaining to me the night, I was thinking, that is fantastic. Yeah, but I'm a bit tired. But I believe that's what we need to fight against ourselves. And go, no, Grant, that program is not more important than meeting with my fellow brethren. That program is not more important than coming together and encouraging one another. That whatever I'm doing, that my tiredness or whatever it is. And I understand we do get tired. We need to make room for that. We need to rest well. But at the same time, I believe we need to be devoted to one another. We need to be devoted to prayer. We need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread and to fellowship. Who's with me on this? Now, this I believe is very important. You know, so as I said, I have actually heard a few sermons that kind of go a little bit like this. That the Holy Spirit is for us, and we need to operate in the power of His Spirit. And that, you know, I've heard sermons on Acts 2:42. I've heard sermons on this. I've heard things on this. And you know, we can hear these things year after year, and we can kind of get a little bit cynical about that, some of these things, can't we? Some of the passages, someone just says a passage. Oh, this passage again. Oh, this is the pastor's favorite. Heard this before. We can sometimes get a little bit cynical on some of these things. We can kind of get a little bit, heard it all before. But my challenge to you this morning is, what does faith say? My challenge to you this morning is, what does faith say about this? Because there are some of us here, and it's just natural, that some of us are going to be analytical and want to go, yeah, let's plan for this. You know, I'm kind of like that. And I go, yeah, cool, let's plan for this. Let's do this, let's do that. And that's good. But I believe that we need to give room for the Holy Spirit. I believe that some of the things we haven't seen is because we haven't yielded to the Holy Spirit. I believe we haven't seen some of these things because we're not devoted to these things, that we lose our devotion. But what does faith say? Does faith say this is possible? Does faith say this can happen? Does faith say, oh, I've heard all this before? No. No, faith says this can happen. Faith says, get your eyes off yourself and onto Christ. I don't know, why don't we stir that faith up inside of us, even right now and just go, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But sometimes we just need to stop leaving our faith at the door, pick it up and to actually use that. What does faith say about you this year? Will you be the son and child of God that he's called you to be? Will you be that encourager he's called you to be? Will you be that discipler he's called you to be? Will you be that multiplier that God's called you to be? Will you be fruitful like God's called you to be? Sometimes it means that we've got to change a few things. Sometimes it means that some of the things that we think are important probably aren't important. Some of the things we place as less important, maybe not even on purpose, we need to put up there high priority. Because I believe sometimes we can get a little bit confused between our devotion to God and our devotion to people around us. They're one and the same. I believe they're one and the same. We often say things like this is my quiet time. You know, this is the time I spend with God and this is the time that I do this, and you know, I listen to podcasts and I do this, and this is my time with God. And we kind of separate that from what we do corporately. But I don't believe we can separate that. We stand here and sing, I'm devoted to you, God. God, you know, you are able. We can't separate our personal with our corporate. It's like separating, as they're saying, oh, this is my secular work. Guess what? It's not your secular work. You take Christ with you. You don't turn your Christianity on and then switch it off. You don't have a secular life. I hope not. That would be scary. You don't switch it on and switch it off. And I believe this is the same when we sing, I am devoted to you, God. We look around, I guess that means I'm devoted to you too. And that means I'm devoted to prayer. That means that I'm devoted to studying God's word with other people. Something that was told to me years ago, he who grows alone grows weird. Stop having your own quiet times. Have it with somebody else. They can pull you up when you start getting weird. Hey, that's weird. What have you just said there? Wow, okay. Let's explore that one a little bit. But I believe that this is a fight that we need to fight. To see fruitfulness and multiplication this year. I believe this is a fight that we need to fight. Otherwise, we'll get through the end of the year and we'll see bits and pieces of fruit and bits and pieces of multiplication. And we'll see a whole bunch of people who are trying to do this. But I believe as a church, if we were to do this all together, imagine how powerful we would be. Imagine if we were to call a prayer meeting and all of us turned up and not just the faithful remnant. Imagine if we were called a prayer meeting and we were all there with our faith engaged, with people in our heart. Imagine the fellowship that we could have. Imagine the awesome times, and we do have awesome times when we break bread together. We do. They're good. Imagine the times we could have when we say, yeah, I'm going to make home group a priority. I'm going to make church a priority. We're going to study the Word of God together and grow together. That's a powerful thing. I want to invite the musicians up. As they come up, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to ask this in your heart. What does faith say? What does faith say? Because most of us do have a walk with God. Most of us do have an understanding of God. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, we do hear the word of God. And there are some things that challenges us. There are some things that we know that God's calling us to. There are some things that that happens and we go, yes, that's the Holy Spirit. There are other things that go on and we go, yeah, I'm not sure what that is. That's just weird. But I believe in every one of us, faith is saying this is possible. Because in my experience, when I get out of my own head and allow God to speak to me, it's always bigger than what goes on in my head. Is that the same for you? When God shows me a picture, it's bigger than what I could come up with. But I find so often we operate in the realm of this world. Now, this world is passing away. Someone once said to me, we are a spiritual being having an earthly experience. A spirit is more real than this world. The spirit realm is more real than this world. Yet we're so caught up with this world that we can't see past it sometimes. That's why I believe we need to be obedient to the Bible and walk by faith. That challenges me. I know I've said this before. That challenges me. That challenges me out of what I see into what I see spiritually. That takes me from the natural into the supernatural. That takes me from seeing what goes on around me to what God wants to see. And what God sees is always bigger than what I see. I know what goes on around me and I pray for that. Why do I pray? Because I believe God's bigger than what I see. True? I believe God is bigger than what goes on around about me. That's why I pray. Because I know He can do something about it. Don't get me wrong, what I do see, yeah, that's reality. What I'm saying is there's a greater reality. It's the words of Jesus Christ. It's the word of God. So again, I want to ask you the question. What does faith say about this? Is that scene even possible? That we could see 3,000 people added to our number in one day. Then every day after that, a number of people being added. Is that possible? Could that be possible? What does God say about that? What is God saying to you about that right now? Is that possible? And if that's possible, then what does that mean for us? What does that mean for my life? What does that mean for my quiet times? What does that mean for the time that I've scheduled? Maybe a few things need to change. Or maybe I go, oh, I look too hard. But I want to challenge us this morning. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand and why don't we sing? But I want to challenge you again. What does faith say to us right now? What is God saying to us? Is multiplication even possible? Is being fruitful even possible? I believe in Christ. Absolutely.
I see the King of glory coming on the cloud.